Hey guys, Merry Christmas. Man, I just first want to say thank you guys. Thank you to all the campuses and gosh, I looked at that little handout. 53 countries around the world kind of tune into the chapel media. So konnichiwa. And I'm sorry. Why don't you go ahead and say that to your neighbor too? Say konnichiwa. Go ahead. All the campuses. What up, Barrington? Hey, so I wanted to say thank you. The chapel, I've been here about a year and a half, and the chapel, I don't know, I hope you guys love your jobs or your roles. I got a great role here at the chapel. I get to pastor the pastors, and I get to lead the staff under the amazing leadership of the elders and Scott and Jamie, and I just want you to know it's a gift. Every day is a gift to me to be able to serve this church and to serve you in that way. There was that one day, but I'll talk about that later. And I just wanted to tell you thank you. Worked with a lot of churches around the country, and you are a generous church. Like, not just with your money, but with like your time and your gratitude and your hospitality. And in the Midwest, you're so friendly. You're way more friendly than people in Colorado. Colorado won't watch this. I seriously wanted to tell you thank you. Because there is a world of people in Lake County, McHenry County, the county where Hinsdale's at that I can't remember. Where's that? Cook? Oh, yeah, that one. So, love you guys. There are people that are kind of in darkness. They're like really overwhelmed by anxiety, and they're really overwhelmed with depression, or they're really overwhelmed with confusion, and they actually need people that follow Jesus of the church to reach out to them in love and kindness and generosity. They think church is all whack and all crazy and all these rules, and you are showing people that the church is normal people empowered by the Holy Spirit that love people really well. You guys do that. I've seen it now for a year, and I just wanted to say, before we get into the sermon, thank you for being the body of Christ. Go ahead to someone around you and say, good job, church, if you're by yourself. Yeah, pat them on the back, or yourself. Good job, church. Okay, now, we have a great talk today, not because I'm giving it, but because it's the Bible, it's awesome. But before that, if anybody is struggling, let me ask this. Are you done with your Christmas shopping? Put your hand up. I'm a procrastinator. I hate you right now. So, no, I love you. If you're looking for a gift still, I want to give you an example of a great gift to get, all right? And so, look at this. Who wraps like this? There's duct tape on this. I think Pastor Dave Ricky wrapped this. Thanks, Dave. So this is a great gift to get if you have it. Now, this is for effect. Let's see what's in here. I've always wanted one of these! A Bible! Cheer! And all the campus says, yay! A Bible is an awesome gift this Christmas. 3D to all the campuses. Here's why. The Bible changes lives because we get to experience and learn who God and Jesus is and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing. I love the Bible. I didn't always love the Bible. Time in my life, I thought it was pretty lame. I love the Bible now, right? And so I wanted to encourage you. Now I'm going to call out the... Oh, hey, get another present with the Bible. Get this. This is awesome. You're never going to guess what this is. A pen! Woo! If you give a Bible, they can read it. Give them a pen, and you can engage and study. A pen changes everything with the Bible. Serious. You can highlight. You can write in your Bible. You're not going to go to hell if you write in your Bible. And so we write and circle. So here's the deal, guys. I'm going to challenge the men. Is there any men at any of the campuses? Give me your men. Ooh, yeah. Any men? if you have a family, I want to challenge you because men like challenges. Everybody in your family should have a Bible. That's an appropriate age for them. If they're a young one, get them a young one. And it's your job to make sure everyone in your family has one of these and knows how to engage in it. It's your job, dudes. Women, what do you think about that? Yeah. Usually the ladies love that idea, whether you're single or married. So that's my challenge, because the Bible is awesome. Now, here's what's fascinating. Around the world, or specifically the United States, this is fascinating. Guess what percentage of people actually have a Bible in their home? In America, what percentage? 80% of Americans have a Bible in their home. Actually, the stat is you have 3.5. I don't know who has half a Bible, but maybe it's just the New Testament. Anyway, and so that's a lot. But interesting enough, a research study was done, and 60% of people in America don't read their Bible. So they have it, and they don't read it. And then they did another study on why, and there were three top reasons. This is interesting. The third reason, I don't know how to do three, countdown. The third reason was that they would feel guilty if they read it. Like, they don't want to engage because they know they've screwed up, and they don't need to hear about it. Now, that's the good news. We are all messed up. Is anybody at any of the campuses or here messed up? We're all messed up. We're broken. And Jesus meets us in that brokenness right where we're at. The second reason people didn't engage in their Bible, you guys, is really interesting. It's because, this is a quote from the research, because their parents didn't. Ooh, snap. Like, I'm a dad, and I'm like, how often do my kids see me engaging in the Bible? Probably not enough. They see their mom, because she's awesome. And so she gets up in the morning, and she reads her Bible and studies and journals, and then all of a sudden, my 16-year-old, she starts doing it too. She caught it, because more is caught than taught. Can I get an amen? Now, the last reason, which sets up the sermon today, that people don't engage in a Bible is because, number one reason, they don't understand it. They just don't understand it. They feel like, I don't know how to read it. I pop the Bible open, and it's like talking about stuff that's happening in the wrath of God, or this person was born to this person, this born to this person, or all of these things, and it's like, I don't get this. When we don't understand something, we tend to not believe or disengage. Research says when we don't understand something, we disengage. And there's a population of people out there that don't understand the love of Jesus, and they're not engaging. I mean, do you ever not understand something? I mean, it could be a big thing, like, why did this family member die? Why, God, I don't understand why my son was born with that disability, or why, God, did my wife leave me? I thought things were going just fine. I don't understand. We have the big don't understands, like all of us do, and the understanding then leads to why. And when we don't understand as humans, we tend to slide away and we drift and we don't engage. And there's a loving father that pursues you. Just, no. Come to me because I love you. And then it's the weird things we don't understand. I taught in Colorado last weekend, and I flew back, landed in the plane there. And that moment when everybody stands up in the plane to get out, right? Like there's something happened I just didn't understand. This lady who's maybe 55, 60, she looks very appropriate. Like she would say appropriate things. Like she just, I don't know, looked appropriate. And she stood up, and another guy stood up behind her, and she turned around and she said, is that you that smells so good? And the guy's like, well, yeah, I use coconut lotion. And in front of everybody, we could all hear, she says, I just want to lick you. Like, I'm right next to her, and I'm like, I don't understand why you would say that. That was really weird. And I chose not to engage conversation with her. Now, there's a story in the Bible, it's story time, that I want to tell you that gives us a clue to not understanding. We're going to go pretty quick, and it's all going to be from the Bible. It's from Luke 1. I want to show you how awesome the Bible is, like right now. Luke 1, it's the story of a birth of a baby. And you're like, oh yeah, it's Jesus. Nope. There's a story of a birth of another baby named John, little Johnny. And Johnny had an amazing pregnancy situation as well. And that was, his mom was Elizabeth, who was very, 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 very advanced in years. And this birth is what God showed Mary. He brought Mary to visit Elizabeth when she was pregnant to prove to her as a sign that this whole Jesus thing is going down. The kingdom's coming. So I think it's important a week before Christmas we understand that story. It's really good. And let me just put you in the story. Let's have fun with it today. Anybody remember Wayne's World? Anyway, look it up. Anyway, so I'm going to put you into a moment. All right? So right now, I want you to imagine, before we read the scripture, that you are a pastor. I just like looking at your faces. How does that make you feel? Some of you are like, but some of you actually had a Holy Spirit moment where you're like, just now, 10 seconds ago. It's like, actually, gosh, I feel like I'm supposed to be a pastor. At all the campuses, there are people in the room you feel called to vocational ministry. I can tell you that it's awesome and it's hard. And take a risk today and tell somebody. That was a side note. Wasn't planned. Let's go back to the story. You're a pastor. You're in a small town, and you do pastor stuff back in the day, 2,000 years ago, and you have a little pastor place, and you do things and stuff, and you pray for people, and you light candles, and you do things, right? And it's a little tiny church is where you're at, and you have a great wife, but you guys are like 60, 70, 80 years old. You've always wanted a kid. You've always wanted a kid, but you haven't had a kid. And your wife, Elizabeth, or husband, Al, or whatever. So you aren't able to have a child, and actually in that culture, the enemy has had influence in that culture, and the culture has a lie in their brain that says if you don't have a child, you're cursed. That's just a lie. But in that culture, she was believing it, and so she felt she was cursed, or she felt that she was not good enough, and so she was full of shame. Anyways, you're the pastor now, and you're just doing your thing, and it's your week to go to the big city of Chicago, to go to the big church, and you have to serve because every week a different smaller church dude comes and serves at the big church, and that's you this week, so you're going to go do it. Now, when you get there, you're doing the stuff, but then there's a time where they're going to shake some dice to see who does what. There's three of you, and we're going to roll dice or cast lots, and one of us has to go get the old incense, the stuff they burned as a tribute to God, and take it out. One of us has to bring the new stuff in, and then one of us gets the big deal. One of us gets the time where you're going to light the incense to the Lord, and you only get to do this one time in your life. That's because it's such an amazing thing, a prestigious thing they get to do. So they shake the dice, boom, you get box cars, you got the number one, and so you get to go light the incense. And as you light the incense to the Lord, which is this prayer to the Lord, a prayer of repentance for the people, you're saying, oh, Lord, forgive us, forgive our nation, forgive me for our sin. It's a beautiful prayer. And you're very humble, and you're praying to the Lord, and the smoke's going up as an offering to the Lord, and you're just doing your thing, and you're really thankful for doing this. And then all of a sudden, on the right side of the altar where you're lighting, this thing shows up. The Bible calls this thing an angel. And it's like very different and scary because it makes you full of fear. And it's like, what's happening? Did I do it? Did I do it wrong? Because if you did stuff wrong back then in the temple, it'd be like, dead. So of course you'd be like, what is happening? And so the fear comes into them. And the angel says, don't be afraid. They're always saying that when they show up. I'm thinking like, well, don't look fearful then. Anyway, so he shows up and he says, don't be afraid, right? And here you are. And then he says this to you, hey, we've heard your prayer. And you're like, what do you mean my prayer? You heard my prayer, I wanted to have a kid, but I stopped praying that like 20 years ago. You heard my prayer. I don't know if you, side note, have ever prayed for a long time for something. Don't give up. God hears your prayer. He hears every single prayer. In this case, you're sitting there, the angel says, I've heard your prayer. Hey, guess what? You're going to have a baby. Your wife is going to have it pregnant and have a baby. And this thing's going to be a big deal. And this baby is actually going to show people and prepare them for Jesus, who's the king, who's going to save everybody that follows him. And he looks at you, and you now have to respond. All right, here's the moment. You're there. What do you say? What would you say right there? Would you say, awesome, let's do this? Would you say, what? I mean, what would you say? Well, Zechariah in the Bible was serving, and he was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, and he was burning the incense, and the angel came, and Zechariah trembled when he saw him, and the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness. He's saying, you will have joy. You will have gladness. I hang out with God, and I'm telling you, this is going to happen. And he's going to do all of these great things and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah's response was, how shall I know this? Like, I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. Do you see how kind he is to his wife? He could have said, and my wife is old too, but he didn't want to call her old. It's like, she's advanced in years. And the angel answered him. Now, here's what's interesting, guys. We all respond very interestingly to things we don't understand. Zechariah didn't understand how this could play out, and later the angel's going to tell him, you didn't believe me. So he knows deep in his heart, in this case, it was disbelief. How can this happen? We're too old. I don't believe you. Now, for humans, typically that can lead to not engaging. And when we don't understand something in life, there's typically a few ways we respond. I want you to self-identify. If you look at this list of six ways people potentially don't respond when they don't understand. This could be you don't understand like a big issue in life that's hurtful. It could be a little issue. It could be when you don't understand your kids. Does anybody never, you know, not understand a two-year-old? There's six ways. I'm going to go through them super fast. First, you could respond as a skeptic. You could say, nope, I don't really believe it, but I'm going to dig and find and strive, and I'm going to look up every little stat, and I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm just going to figure it out. Until I figure it out, I'm going to be very skeptical. I might engage, but I'm going to have an eyebrow up. And when I figure it out, then that's a control freak too. I don't know if you know any of those people. And then there's the hippie. The hippie responds to when they don't understand something like this. Oh, it's a mystery? We don't really know? Awesome! Like, cool! I actually like not knowing. And they actually don't engage, and they just go with it. The politician, forgive the language if you are a politician, this is just somebody that actually just engages with other people where they're at so that they're liked and that they like them, and you just take on however other people don't understand something. The faker is somebody that I don't understand. I don't understand. Let's take an example. I don't understand healing. Like, I pray for people to be healed, and sometimes they're not healed, and sometimes they are, and I just don't understand it, and I'm really confused, and it makes me doubt a lot, but I'm not going to say any of this, and I'm going to fake it, and I'm going to pray for people, and I'm going to tell people to believe, but I'm not really going to be honest. The avoider, this is me, confession. This is something like, let's just avoid the situation. Let's just kind of not talk about it. I find I do this with my kids. If I don't understand something my kids are going through, maybe they're going through something really hard, I know I should sit on the edge of their bed and we should have a talk, but sometimes I'm just confused. I don't understand. There might be anger, there might be frustration, there might be like guilt, what have I done wrong? And so what I'll do is I'll just avoid the conversation. Maybe you do that with your spouse. You don't understand your wife in this situation, and so you're in the garage a lot more. You're watching ESPN a lot more, and you're not engaging. And then there's the half-hearted. The The half-hearted leans into it. But you don't really believe it can take place. You're not really sure. But you know you're supposed to go through the motions on something. You're supposed to do that thing. But you're not all in, and you're literally going through the motions. When you don't understand something, whether it's a big faith issue, whether it's a relationship issue, maybe your finances are in trouble, and you just don't understand, how do you respond? The natural human responds in a sinful way, which is one of these things. I know I do. And the root of that are these four issues: fear, shame, anxiety, and anger. Elizabeth was full of shame. Zechariah was fearful he did something wrong, maybe. Anxiety fulfills our planet. Hey, guys, let's just be straight right now. Anxiety is an epidemic. One of our youth groups, doesn't matter which one, had roughly 40 students go to camp. When you go to camp, you have to check in your medication. 21 out of 40 students checked in medication that was for anti-anxiety or anti-depression. 21 out of 40 church kids. Now, that's not to say anything about them. Praise God they're on medication and they're trying to do what they need to do. That's awesome. Great. So if you're hearing this, each one of you, God bless you, we're with you. It speaks to a bigger issue. If we don't understand things that are happening in life, we seek, like what we want for Christmas is to understand, but what God really wants to give us is peace beyond understanding. This is from Philippians 4, verse 7. Let me read this to you. The Bible is so good. When you don't understand, and we think, I just want to understand this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the story. So the angel says to him, I was from the presence of God, and I came to speak to you and bring you good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day of these things take place, because you did not believe my words. And now you're thinking, like, he got punished because he didn't believe. Well, you could see it as punishment, but you could also see it as this. A very clear supernatural sign to help break through his mind to say, this thing's happening. You cannot deny that this is happening. You know, I was a very skeptical person, you guys. And I was like going through the motions with church. I was like a cultural Christian and going to church, doing things, but really not engaging in the Bible. And that's how most people do it. And God just keeps inviting us into more. And we were at a marriage retreat, me and my wife. Remember, if your wife invites you to a marriage retreat, dudes, say yes. And so we were there, and this guy's talking to us about the gospel, and I've heard it a million times. Like, literally, I've heard the story of Jesus a million times. Well, maybe not a million, a thousand. And I'm like, why are you telling me this? I know this. And then for some reason, he looked at me and said, did you know that your sin led to Christ on the cross to take your punishment and your death so that you may have life? And if you were the only one on the planet, he would do that for you because he loves you and he wants to be with you forever. And I don't know why, but somehow it hit me that day. I was 28 years old. And it's like, whoa. And I just was overwhelmed by the presence of God's love and what he did for me. Now, before that, I had an eye issue, and I couldn't read more than 10 minutes. Max 10 minutes in a day, my eyes would get super tired. It was hard to go through school. I had to, you know, help, you know, I had the cheerleaders do my schoolwork for me, and it was awesome. So, So the 2 days after this experience of confessing and repenting and understanding and feeling the Holy Spirit, I was at an airport waiting to go on a business trip, and I'm compelled to look at the Bible, and I start reading it, and I read it for 10 minutes, and my eyes aren't tired, and an hour, and my eyes aren't tired, and then my plane was delayed, and they come and say, hey, I'm sorry, our plane is delayed, and usually you get all like, I don't understand, but this day, they said, your plane's delayed, and I was like, sweet, let's read some more. Three plane delays, three times I was like, awesome. I read for 6 hours straight, and I couldn't get enough of this. I had an undeniable healing that just happened that I can point to a moment in time. You may believe me, and you may not believe me, but I'm telling you it happened. And now I can't get enough of this because it helps me live my life because I am a complete moron. Amen? Can I get an amen? Yes, wives, stop pointing at your husbands. And so let's keep going. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and he came out, and he couldn't hear, and he couldn't talk, and all of these things. And then it says, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach from people. I don't have any more shame. I am totally free. God has pursued me and loved me well beyond when I thought it was going to happen. Elizabeth would be here right now, and she would be saying this, and this is scripture. She would say, and blessed is someone who believes that God's promises are true and are going to happen. In the scripture, she's telling Mary this with conviction. Mary comes to visit her. Mary is pregnant, and Elizabeth is pregnant a little more, about 6 months more. And she said, and blessed is she, blessed is Mary, for you believe that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to you for the Lord. It's very clear, you guys. If we put ourselves in a posture of engaging in spiritual activity and believing that something's going to happen, that God says is going to happen, then it's going to be a blessed life. You will be blessed, and actually the original language is extremely blessed if you actually engage or believe. The word in believe is not just to think it to be true, it's the word entrust. Everybody say it, all the campuses say entrust. 1, 2, 3. It means to go ahead and act as if it's true. In this kind of life, you will be blessed. It's absolutely fascinating. And what the enemy does is tries to get us to not believe the promises and try to get us in a very, very dark place. And I've shared it many times, different things in my life, whether I was doing illegal gambling or looking at stuff on the internet I shouldn't have years ago, or questioning why in the heck cancer came to my kid, right? It's like your head gets into this place of thinking dark thoughts and questioning that God loves you and the promises of the Bible that are good and true. You just don't understand. And this is just a day that this Norwegian is saying to you, of all the pain and the hurt that I've been through, I can tell you the promises of God are true. You can bank on them. They don't play out the way you think sometimes, and sometimes it takes a long time, but do not give up, because he hears your prayer. Now, it's true because look what happens. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son, and the Lord had shown great mercy on her, and she rejoiced, and they thought they would call him Zachariah, and he said, no, we're going to call him John. But she's like, none of your relatives are called by that name. And then they made signs like to Zachariah, like, hey, what's going on here? Because he couldn't hear probably, and he's like, hey. And he wrote on a little tablet, his name is John. It's interesting, because he was told to name him John. So now Zachariah is actually behaving with obedience. He's just going to go for it. Okay, he told me to name John. I'm going to name him John. Like, he's going to go for it. He's going to act as if this thing's going down. He's going to, like, change his lifestyle now. And when he does that, boom, his mouth becomes open. And he can hear again. And everybody's like, what? And the word says it spread throughout the country what person this boy must be. Like, life changed. What then will this child be? What a great question. Then it gets better. Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit in Scripture. It's at the end of Luke 1, and he gets filled with the Spirit, and he starts prophesying who this boy is going to be. He goes from, I don't understand, I'm going to disengage, I'm not sure I believe it, to I'm going to be obedient now, and let me tell you something. Right? Like, something changes in him. And he busts out this prophecy about who John's going to be, and it's just ridiculously cool. And at the end of it, there's two verses where he actually then transfers into who Jesus is going to be as we look to Christmas. And this is what he says. You can go on the screens to Luke 1, 78 and 79. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is a prophecy about Jesus. Because of God's love for you and his tender mercy, there's going to be a sunrise that's warm and good. What does sun do? It casts out darkness. It lights up a room. It illuminates. To give light to those who sit in darkness, whether it's fear or shame or anxiety or your opposer or these people that live next to you that don't know Jesus and they're just waiting for an invitation to Christmas services. Just to reach to them. They're in the shadow of death. Without Christ, they have death for all eternity. And we are called, who've been warmed by the light, to extend a tender, loving hand, to invite people into a life that has peace beyond understanding, and to guide our way to peace. Peace there means like shalom, like one with God. You might say, how do I do this? Here's how you do it. First, you engage. The Bible says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you, God says. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. He said, if you knock, I'll open the door. If you ask, I'll give. Like, just draw near. Take your engagement level and lean in this Christmas more than ever. Lean in with your wife. Like, lean in. Engage more. Don't avoid. Don't be a faker. Go into it. When you don't understand, say, hey, I don't understand that. Can we talk about that? Lean in with your finances to be generous. Lean into your relationships. If you see a basketball lying on the floor and there's a court right there, a hoop, walk up to the ball and shoot it. Like, that's weird what I just said, but it's an example of play the game. God's inviting you to engage. Engage with intimacy if you're married. Your wife wants to be pursued. Dude, and wives, your husband wants to be pursued. Like, this Christmas season, engage in intimacy. You're like, is that pastor just telling me to have sex this week? Yes! If you're married. Lean in more than ever. Engage. Act as if the Bible's true is the second point. Like, just try it for a week. Act as if this thing's the real deal. And like, well, I don't know what it says. Ah, awesome. That's awesome. No condemnation. Get one. It's awesome. The third thing, remember that who trumps where, when, why, and how. We wonder these things. I have been so broken in the past. How's it going to happen? Where's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? But the who in the whole equation is priority over all those questions. We have the who. It's Jesus. He came as a baby, he suffered, he died, he rose again, he invites you into life, and you can trust him. He's the who. And the last one, how do you do this? You engage, you act as if it's true, you remember the who has priority over the other ones. And this one's weird. Let go of all expectations. They're like, hey, that doesn't sound encouraging to end the sermon on. Let go of all expectations and replace that with a life of expectancy. Expectation says, I'm expecting I'm going to get this job. I'm expecting I'm going to be healthy this way. I'm expecting this is exactly how it's going to play out. I'm expecting I'm going to hear from God on Tuesday at 3:00 because that's when I want to hear it. I'm expecting all of these things, and I'm just going to do that versus I don't know how it's going to happen, but God's going to do it. I don't know what the health situation is going to be, but I'm going to pray for this person. God's going to do something. And you live with this expectancy as you wake up in the morning and you're in the shower like, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I know God is going to be part of my life because the Bible said so. I know his promises are true. I know that he has good things for me. I'm not sure how it's going to look, but I tell you what, this is going to be a pretty interesting day. I'm going to live with expectancy again. What we really want, what the list this Christmas we think we want to understand, but what we really want and what God gives us is peace beyond understanding. Why don't we stand? At all the campuses here in Grays Lake, everybody, let's just stand as we take a moment to pray and to process. Just want to ask you to take a moment to close your eyes if you would and just kind of meditate, pray on this, these words. The Prince of Peace, I believe, is inviting us as the chapel to engage with expectancy this season. To engage with expectancy. Now, where do you need to apply that to your life right now? Holy Spirit, would you come and would you reveal to us what that might look like? Like, really think about it, guys. Is it with your finances? Is it with a relationship? Is it a pending divorce? Is it a health situation? Is it the loss of a loved one? Is it confusion about your future? You're a young adult and you're just not quite sure exactly what way to go. I mean, like, where would you engage with expectancy in your life right now? And what would it look like to risk acting as if the promises of God are true? So Holy Spirit, come. And would you meet us, Lord, in those places right now where we need you, Lord? I just feel like later after a song and at the campuses here in a bit with ministry time, because we want to respond always at church, at chapel. If you haven't figured this out yet, we want to create space to respond. It's like pastoral malpractice to worship God, teach on the Bible, and then like say, bye. It's like you got to give someone a chance to respond if they want to. And so I wonder if you might want to respond today by receiving prayer. I wonder if you've been wanting to have a child and you haven't been able to, and you'd like prayer about that. Of course, you'd like the miracle of having a child, but also peace and however that story plays out. I wonder if you have relationships that are struggling and you'd love prayer for that. I'm just a dude who can tell you in a moment the Holy Spirit can change anything. So, Lord Jesus, would you come and would you lead us? And we love you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, at all campuses, we say, amen.